We're going to be reading from Joshua chapter 3 today. A very, very inspiring story of the Israelites entering into the promised land, the land which God had prepared for them. And just an interesting side note, before they entered the promised land, they celebrated the Passover. And on the very day after Passover is when they began to eat the fruit of the land. So the very day that Jesus rose from the dead is the day that they began to eat the fruit of the land when they entered Canaan after all those 40 years of wandering. And that's just kind of an interesting little side note. So let's ask the Lord's blessing on His Word. Lord God, we just praise You for Your Word and that it's a lamp to guide our feet and to hold us to the path, Lord. We praise You for Your sure Word to guide us through all the rocks, through all the false prophets and all the different things and the teachings of men, Lord God, that would drag us this way and that. We just praise You for Your Word. We praise You that it says only one thing. We praise You and ask that You would minister to us today through Your Word, that it would be a sure guide to us. Please bless each one who hears this message. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to read this story because it is such a wonderful lesson to us. Moses has already died, and the mantle is gone to Joshua, and now he's leading the people into Israel. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, he and all the sons of Israel, and set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. And it came about at the end of 3 days that the officers went through the midst of the camp and commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, with the Levitical priests carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before." Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. You shall, moreover, command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, 'When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan.'" Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, and the Amorite, and the Jebusite. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now then, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe. And it shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. And the waters which are flowing down from above shall stand in one heap, So it came about when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And when those who carried the Ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of the harvest, that the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap a great distance away at Adam. And the city that is beside Zarethan, and those which were flowing down toward the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, so the people crossed opposite Jericho. And the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. Now, this story is a phenomenal story to increase our faith and to encourage us, because God was with them, God gave them a command, and they were carrying out the command, and it was to bless them. And then God said to go to take the ark before them and to go into the Jordan, which was overflowing its banks. So it wasn't like a little trickle. It was a river that was flowing, and it was overflowing. And then the Lord says that the water will be cut off. So they obeyed. They went to the Jordan. They put their feet into the water. And what happened when they put their feet in the water? The priest, okay, here's Joshua. He's obeying God. Here's the priest, they're obeying Joshua. Here's the people. There were about 3 million people at that time, all watching. There's all the people in Jericho that are watching this procession and wondering what's going to happen. Everybody's gathered together at the Jordan wondering what's going to happen. And the priests put their feet into the water, and everyone is expecting the waters to open up before them, because that's what the Lord said. And what happened? Nothing. Nothing visible happened at all. Nothing that anybody could see happened. And so, here's the priest standing in the water. Standing in the water. They got their feet in the water. They obeyed God. And yet, the water was still there. And the people were still behind them waiting to go. And the people of Jericho were still looking over the wall, and they're standing there in the water, nothing. This was a severe test of faith. Yet, the word of the Lord was being fulfilled exactly according to what he said. Exactly what he said was taking place. The waters were standing up as though in a heap, but not in front of them. Not in front of them. The waters didn't stand up in a heap in front of them like they did when they crossed the Red Sea and they opened up like walls and they crossed. No, the waters stood up in a heap and were completely cut off way upriver at the city of Ai, which was about 20 miles upstream from where they were standing. So, they're standing with their feet in the water. Nothing is apparently happening. Yet, the word of the Lord was completely fulfilled, but in a way they didn't expect. 20 miles upstream, it was exactly what God said. Now, 20 miles worth of river had to empty before they could cross. 20 miles of water had to empty out of the Jordan before they could cross. So that means, as they were standing with their feet in the water, there would initially be absolutely no sign whatsoever that God had fulfilled his word. There would be no visible sign that God had fulfilled his promise. And so what did they have to do? Well, they just had to stand there and just take it. They just had to stand there and endure this apparent failure, the apparent that God had apparently not answered their prayer. And so as they're standing there, they could have done two things. They could have gotten completely disillusioned and said, we obeyed God and nothing happened. And then they could have turned around and said that God failed us. God failed us. And they could have turned around, and had they done that, they would have never entered the promised land. Instead, they stood. They stood. They stood there and they didn't turn around. The result was, after about an hour of standing there, the waters would have receded a tiny bit from both banks. Just imagine 20 miles worth of river drying up. It would have gone, after an hour, it would have gone down just barely perceptible on the edges, and only if you were looking for it. Only if you were looking for it. After 2 hours, it would be like, hey, isn't this water going down a little bit? And after 3 hours, it's like, yeah, it's definitely going down. You sure? Yeah. Yeah, because it was over here. See, this is where it's wet, and now it's over here. And after 4 hours, they would say, it's going down. Hallelujah. And after 6 hours, it would look like it was going down. And by the end of the day, it would be dry. And this lesson is phenomenally important to us, because God had actually answered and had done exactly what he said. And if you look closely, you'll see that God actually warned them, because he said, you have to go into the river and you have to stand still in the water. You have to stand still in it. And the waters which are flowing down from above shall stand in one heap. So you see, the Lord actually did exactly what he said. It's just that their perception of what he said was different than what he actually said. They were expecting a Red Sea phenomenon where they would see it build up right in front of them. And they didn't. And their faith was greatly tested then. But they persisted. They kept their feet in the water. And the result was a tremendous, tremendous miracle and entering into the promised land. The result and the fruit of all their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Now, does this apply to us? Yes, it does. Every day, all day, every day, it applies to us, because God's given us all these promises, and we pray, and we pray with all our heart, and we pour out our heart to God with the various needs and desires that we have. And God says clearly and specifically in his word, ask anything in my name and I will give it to you. Ask anything in my name and the Father will give it to you. I do not say I will ask for you, for the Father himself loves you. God has given us, Jesus gave us all promises through the Gospels that we can ask anything and he will give it to us. And so we ask, and what happens? Nothing. Apparently, nothing happens. We pray our heart out. We come to God with a desperate prayer. And we look around us, and there's no apparent sign that he has heard us at all. And now we have the trial. Now we have the test of faith. Do we say that God has failed us? God has abandoned us? God has not honored his word? He has forgotten about me? Somehow I'm an exception to his word? He told us we could ask anything, but he didn't mean me? That's a big one. You can turn around and you can give up. And then you won't get what it is that you asked for. Or you can stand with your feet in the water. And as you stand with your feet in the water, it may not even be perceptible at first. It may not even be perceptible that God is answering, but he is. He is answering because of the veracity of his word, the reality of his promise that he heard and he will grant to us the thing we asked. So, we keep our feet in the water and then we see a little tiny, teeny weeny hope of I think this might be happening. And as we hold there in faith, we say, yeah, I think it is happening. And then we hold on in faith longer. It's like, yeah, God is definitely doing something. And then we hold on longer. Yeah, God's definitely doing this. And then after a long time or a while of having our feet stay in the water, we see God bring to pass this phenomenal answer that he's been preparing right from the start. That, remember this. The moment that they obeyed and put their feet in the water, the miracle took place. It took place right then. Right when they put their feet in the water, the miracle took place. It's just that they didn't see the evidence of it for many hours. So it is with us. When we pray in faith, God has heard our prayers. And right then, as it said in Daniel, remember Daniel? He says, when the angel visited him, said, I was dispatched to come to you the very hour that you prayed. The very hour. So it is with us. But he didn't get there for 3 weeks, right? Same with us. As we pray, the very moment we ask, it says that the Lord has heard and will answer. So he's already preparing the answer right off, immediately. Now, we have the test of faith. We keep our feet in the water, or do we give up and we say that God has failed us, and then we turn around? That's the big test. That's the big question. And that's where all the faith work takes place. And it's tough. It's tough because, remember, with these guys, Joshua was standing between 3 million people on one side and the city of Jericho on the other side, and everybody is watching him. And he's having to stand there looking like a fool for some serious amount of time. And it's only as he stood there in his humiliation and believed in God that this tremendous miracle took place. And then he was greatly exalted in the sight of all men. So we have to persist and believe. And for those who are praying for revival, those who are praying for changes in their life, changes in their family, those who are praying for salvation to visit their community and their families, immediately we're going to have our feet in the water and it's going to look real bad. And we're going to be humiliated and we're going to feel stupid and foolish because we have said that God would do something and apparently he hasn't done it. But he has done it. And so we have to hold in faith steady with our feet in the water. So we have to go forward. So when you have whatever your pressing need is, whether it is your desire for revival, desire for the salvation of your loved ones, whatever it is, or finances, whatever your desperate need is, just pray, put your feet in the water, and leave them there. We just got to leave them there, no matter how bad it gets. Just remember, the waters are going down. You just can't see it. You just can't see it yet. But as you keep your feet in the water, that means you keep having a prayer of faith. You just keep on believing in God. That is having your feet in the water. And the result of that continued steadfast faith is that those waters will recede and a tremendous miracle will take place. So be encouraged by these words. Remind each other often of them. Email me and remind me, okay? Because we get hammered like this all the time of God seemingly whatever, letting us down and not doing what we asked. But we have to remember. Keep remembering these words as a memorial. We need to put this up as a stone from the middle of the Jordan and say, no, the Lord is good. He's faithful. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we so praise you for the veracity of your word and your promises. We praise you, Lord God, that they will not fail. They will not fail. I pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters who are watching this from all different parts of the world, Lord. I pray for them that you'll give them the courage, the tenacity to hold on in faith and keep their feet in the water and to see the salvation of God. I pray for your blessing on each one, Lord, and we collectively pray for a spirit of revival to be poured out, that we might see righteousness be poured out upon our land, that you'd restore us, O Lord. We praise you for this day. We praise you for your faithfulness. We praise you for your promises. In Jesus' holy name, amen.